Time for DC Current, presented by LABI. Congressman, good morning. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great this morning. How about you, Brian?
Doing all right. Springtime has hit me. If my voice sounds a little bit off, as soon as you see azaleas, you can just count me out of the mix. We are at that time. We got a
but
lot
they,
of
but they look good.
Yeah, they are pretty. I'm not going to say it's worth it, but they are pretty to be sure. Y'all got a big week going on. Let's start with the House Natural Resources. Where are we with legislation that would modernize speed up a bunch of infrastructure, flood protection, and road projects?
Look, Brian, you can look across Louisiana, whether it's a road project, a flood project, you're seeing costs just skyrocket, and you're seeing the amount of time it takes to actually implement these projects drag on and on. And part of that is the regulatory process, the environmental reviews. And just to give you an example, the average road project takes in excess of 7 years. We did a deep dive looking at this. There's an average of 115 different lawsuits filed against these environmental analysis every year. On average, they take over 3 years to settle the lawsuits, and the majority of them end up the end of the day, it ends up being settled in favor of the original document that was put together justifying the environmental impacts or the mitigation plan for the project. So to say it in summary, it's a waste of time and it's a waste of money. There are more efficient ways for us to be looking at how to mitigate or minimize impacts to the environment or actually improve the environment. Brian, whenever I was building coastal restoration projects, it was baffling to me that we would spend years looking at environmental impacts of a project that's designed to actually benefit the environment. And that's exactly what we were doing. And so we have legislation that modernizes that, and even had John Kerry, who I met with late last year, talking about how this type of modernization is needed. And it doesn't matter if you want to go build a renewable energy project or if you want to build a road or flood control. This process needs to be modernized. It takes too long and it's too expensive.
Well, nature around us is never static. It's always moving as well. I mean, if you start an environmental study that's going to last that long, the environment will have changed around it.
So it's a great point. And as a matter of fact, we talked about that yesterday. So think about this for just a minute. We have one of the fastest disappearing coastlines in America. One of the most it's awful what's happening, the coastal crisis we have. And so we go in and we start doing an environmental analysis. Well, by the time you've finished, you've already lost another 10 acres of land and so in your project area. And so it is a very dynamic system. And oftentimes the way that they look at these environmental reviews, they say, oh, well, look, if we take no action, that's going to be the safest thing to do. Well, that doesn't take into consideration that no action means you're going to continue losing, you know, again, making up a number, 10 acres a year in just degradation or land loss. And there are many other scenarios where that same exact thing happens. By taking no action, it's actually one of the worst things you can do. We've watched as they've justified shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and or actually not allowing it to be built. And all that happened is that they ended up using the same energy, transporting it through less safe means of transportation, greater chance for spills, and greater energy emissions associated with it. Just, it was a total loss. And no one thought through how to actually look at these things the right way. Our bill that we had a hearing on yesterday, it addresses these problems. It focuses on environmental impacts and solutions. But most importantly, it streamlines the process to actually get to turning dirt.
How intentional do you have to be about not going too far towards the efficiency side? Well, because there is validity to studying the environment. There's validity to protecting, you know, protecting on a study level what you're trying to protect in real life.
Well, and Brian, that's actually the objective of the bill. Instead of studying all of these, you know, Christmas tree issues, all of these ancillary issues, the bill requires that you actually stay focused on the environment. And so what it does is by concentrating the focus on the environment, you're actually coming out with better environmental outcomes. You're studying, you're coming up with better mitigation solutions and things along those lines. What it's designed to do is it's designed to stop the frivolous lawsuits. It's designed to stop studying things that aren't associated with protecting or improving the environment. And so this really is a win-win. It's less money, it's a faster process, and it results in better environmental outcomes by focusing your resources on the environmental impacts and on mitigation strategies associated with it.
Congressman Garrett Graves is our guest. It's DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, whose annual meeting is coming up tomorrow. Oh, by the way, Congressman, let's move over real quick. I want to talk domestic energy production. These two topics, I mean, they're not hand in hand, but they do kind of they cross streams on a Venn diagram from time to time. Legislative hearing, first in a while, on ramping up domestic energy production. Bring us up to speed.
Well, look, it's no secret that the major cause of the skyrocketing energy prices, and Brian, just to remind you, back when President Biden took office, gasoline prices in Louisiana were as low as $1.74 a gallon. And so by stopping energy production, by only issuing 1/100th of the land area that was issued under the Carter administration, this administration has strangled energy supply, which is why prices are going up, which is why they're unaffordable for utility costs for refueling our cars. And it's also why some of these companies are making record profits, is because you're making this commodity so valuable, so scarce, that you make more money off of less product. So they're creating these problems. And the hearing yesterday was focused on exposing how they have shut down oil and gas production in the United States, how they have done so in a manner that makes us more dependent upon other countries, that makes the product more expensive, and it results in higher emissions, not lower emissions, because we have some of the cleanest sources of energy in the world in terms of conventional fuels in the Gulf of Mexico. And so that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to apply more science to this energy crisis we have, and coming up with solutions that are both in America's interest and in the global environment's interest.
We're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves, DC Current, presented by LABI. Congressman, when we talk about domestic energy production, obviously our bread and butter here is oil and gas. But we've also learned about wind leases out in the Gulf. I haven't gotten your take on where we are with that and where we could be headed.
Look, Brian, the opportunity to produce energy from things like wind and wave and solar and geothermal and nuclear, these are all low emissions or emissions-free sources. And when the resources make sense, and what I mean by that is you don't want to go put up a windmill in an area that doesn't have a good wind resource. They've done extensive assessments, and as a matter of fact, the Western Gulf out of Texas, great wind resources there. The Central Gulf, where Louisiana is, you have some areas that have pretty good potential, not as promising as in the Western Gulf. But we need to be harnessing these as part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. There's no study out there that says we're going to take ourselves off of oil and gas dependence anytime soon. Even the president, who has been pushing this just really mind-boggling energy policy for the last 2 years, even he said at the State of the Union speech that oil and gas isn't going anywhere for a decade or more. And so we need to have an all-of-the-above energy approach, but most importantly, we've got to make sure that the approach that we take is based upon what makes sense. Where are the appropriate resources? You're not going to put a solar panel in a cave. You're not going to put a windmill in a place where you don't have appropriate wind resources, and use those to complement our conventional energy sources like oil and gas, because the wind doesn't blow all the time. The sun doesn't shine all the time. You don't have enough battery technology or capacity to store energy to meet our energy needs. And so you really need to have that diverse energy portfolio in order to meet America's energy needs, and most importantly, to bring prices down, to improve the competitiveness of the economy, and to stop forcing these people into energy poverty, as we've seen over the last 2 years.
We're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves. Want to move over to a different topic. Got a couple minutes left here, Congressman. Can we talk border crisis for a minute? We in our top stories in trending earlier this hour, we talked about the amount of fentanyl that's been taken off the streets here in East Baton Rouge Parish over the last year. There was a stop near the border that was that dwarfs and greatly dwarfs what's going on here in Baton Rouge.
It was remarkable. Enough fentanyl to kill 50 million Americans was found and seized in one stop. So look, Brian, some people look at the border and they think only about people that are illegally coming across, foreigners illegally coming across our border, taking jobs in the United States that otherwise Americans could have, that are taking money and sending it back to their home countries, whether it's Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, wherever. And it's adversely affecting America. It's costing us billions and billions of extra money every year to help to fight against these people coming across our southern border, to house them, to transport them, to provide health care and clothing. All of this costs American taxpayer dollars. But perhaps one of the biggest crises associated with what's happening in our southern border, and there was a hearing on this in Congress yesterday, is what's happening with fentanyl. There was a mother who testified. She lost both of her sons in one day because of fentanyl overdose, because they thought they were taking a different pill, and it was actually an overdose. It was too much fentanyl in this pill, and it killed both of her sons. And she's just dumbfounded like I am. How in the world can we allow this to continue to happen? There's not a border agent that I've met in California, in New Mexico, and in Texas who has said what is happening right now with the southern border makes any sense. All of them have said we need to go back to the border policies of the Trump administration. We've got to secure our border. We've got to make these people remain in Mexico or stay back when they're seeking asylum claims. We can no longer allow these folks to come in. I can't imagine anybody who thinks this is a good idea, and we need to hold this administration accountable to securing our border and stopping this fentanyl crisis. Last statistic, Brian, They've had enough fentanyl come into the United States to kill every single American more than seven times over. It's manufactured in China. It comes across this poor southern border that this administration refuses to protect and secure, and it threatens the lives of every single American.
Well, I mean, hindsight is 2020. If we can all get past the original exacerbation of how bold the former president's plan was, we can go back to what works versus what didn't.
This doesn't need to become political. It really doesn't. All we need to do is look at policies that were in place and look at which ones were most effective in terms of preventing foreigners from declaring when they're going to become Americans, letting them unilaterally declare when they're going to illegally cross our border, come into our country, and then even deal with crazy things like we're dealing with in Washington, D.C., where the city council here is trying to allow all of these people to be able to vote in elections, including people that are Chinese citizens working at the embassy. It's incredible what is happening in this country today, and we can no longer allow this to occur. It is a simple math issue where you look at the policies, you look at what was most effective, you look at what was most efficient, and you simply keep doing that, or you return to those policies. And what's happening right now is they're allowing millions and millions of foreigners, of illegal aliens, to come into this country, allowing them to stay here, trying to give them rights, trying to give them food, health care, transportation, housing, all of these things, thanks to the American taxpayer, while we have a $32 trillion debt that's going to cost us $10 trillion in interest payments alone over the next 10 years. These are anti-American policies. They're not in our interest. It certainly isn't helping Louisiana. And we've got to reverse this and go back to policies that work. Again, it shouldn't be political.
Got to ask you, put our minds at ease. Here comes the question.
Yeah.
Who are the Saints going to take with the 29th pick in the draft?
I had a meeting with Jeff Landry on Sunday. We talked for a little while. I was very, very candid with him about my strong concerns about his path forward. Very, very candid with him. We met for probably an hour and a half or so, and it definitely was helpful to me. That was one of the things that I wanted to do before we made a final decision, and expecting to make an announcement in probably the next, I guess I'll say, 10 days or so.
So we're closer. I was going to lead in with a joke there. I wasn't expecting that. Like, you hit me with a legit answer. So we're closer.
I knew exactly where you're going.
So Jeff Landry's been making the rounds. I mean, all right. Well, next 10 days. then I know where to go 7 days from now when you're back on again. Congressman Garrett Graves, we ran way, way over on time. I appreciate you hopping on every week. Thank you so much.
Brian, thank you. Have a great day.